Welcome back to another Supernatural Scotland, the podcast. I am your host, Mark Smith. Apologies first off if you can hear the knocking door. We are being hit by Storm Bert right now and it is super windy outside. We've had snow, rain, hail, lots of wind. Anyway, hopefully today will be the last day and we can get on. Now, we are nearing the end of autumn and closing in on winter months, which are freezing and dark in Scotland, but can also be beautiful to see and experience. Soon, it will be December, and all the Christmas lights have already appeared and the Christmas markets are open. It is a lovely time of year to visit, but it's also a time of year which adds a spooky atmosphere to the locations we have spoken about in the past. Traditionally, back in the day, Christmas, they used to discuss ghost stories. So, perfect time of year, in fact. Now, our first location is the old village of Lawers. This mysterious ghost town is located on the shore of Loch Tay in Perthshire and is said to be haunted. The ruins are near the foot of Ben Lawers, which is the highest mountain in the Breadalbane area of the Highlands. The new village of Lawers is only around 30 minutes walk from the ruins. The town is made up of a few 17th century stone buildings, which include houses and two mills, along with a burial ground and an old church. It also had its own pier. It is important to mention it is privately owned and difficult to find, but is somewhere the public can visit as long as you respect the area. The area is surrounded by trees and has slowly been getting claimed back by Mother Nature. It is estimated the area could have been occupied for 1,000 years in some form before being abandoned, so has a long history. It has ancient monuments at the northern and southern ends of the town, which are recorded as special areas of conservation. So please be respectful if you happen to visit. The village survived through farming and fishing, thanks to the location of the town right beside a large loch. The last members of this village left in 1926, and it was left to ruin. Times had changed and they could not continue a hard life in this area, so they left for an easier life in other towns. The Laird's house was thought to be built on the ruins of Lawers Castle. They used two of the existing castle walls, and this was home to the Lady of Lawers. We will come back to her in a minute. The church was next door to the Laird's house. It has an ash tree growing in the centre. The church had worshippers visiting from the surrounding villages, some even travelling by barge over the water. The village, as mentioned earlier, had its own mill. There is a legend which tells of the village being haunted by the Lady of Lawers, who had magic powers and was able to predict the future. In old times, they called people with premonitions a seer. This meant they were wise and could provide much wisdom as well as having premonitions. She had many prophecies. She told the villagers the ridging stones for the church would never be put in place. After a terrible storm, it was found they were washed into the waters and they were never recovered. She also told of fire coaches, which people now believe to be trains on the railway. She talked of a ship driven by smoke, which could well have been steamships, and she warned of one sinking and causing many deaths. One indeed did sink in the loch. She was even believed to predict the Highland clearances, which even affected this village in the 17th century. She told them the church would fall when the ash tree planted near it reached the height of the spire. It did indeed reach this height, and the church was then badly damaged in a storm, never to be reopened. There was a second part to this premonition. When it reaches the ridge, the house of Balak will be without an heir. When the tree reached the ridge in 1862, John Campbell, the second Marquis of Breadalbane of the House of Balak, died with no heir. The House of Balak was then extinct. The last of the premonitions predicted an accident would befall the man who cuts the tree. In 1875, a local farmer went into the village to cut down the tree. Locals warned him against it, but he was arrogant and he did not listen. A week after cutting down the tree, he was gored by his own Highland bull and died from gangrene. The next day, his horse died. His assistant became paranoid, so much so he ended up in a local asylum. It is also said when they moved the dead body by boat over the loch, a random storm came out of nowhere, almost capsizing them. They made it to the other side and the storm ended as quickly as it had begun. The mysterious Lady of Lores is said to haunt the grounds, wandering around her much-loved village. I think it's safe to say she should be avoided if you happen to see her on your visit. Our next location is one of Britain's most haunted bothies. This is Ben Alder Cottage. Bothies are always remote, but at 8.5 miles from the nearest public road in this day and age, it's pretty remote. The cottage is located at the bottom of Ben Alder Mountain. The cottage has been abandoned for many years. One story tells of a man who was walking from Rannoch to Balwinnie and stayed overnight at the cottage, which at that time was also occupied by a husband and wife. In the middle of the night, he heard footsteps in the room opposite. The next morning, he asked the woman about the strange noises. She explained a stag was to blame. This stag would come to the cottage and rub its antlers against the cottage, and it caused strange noises. He claimed when she told him this story, there was something off about her, like she was making it up to cover the real reason. I think I would be moving on as quickly as I could. Another man hiking on his own claims to have settled in for the night to hear footsteps. Thinking he would have some company, he waited for the hikers to join him. He heard the footsteps come closer and even crunch over the frozen snow. He thought he heard the storeroom open. He then felt a feeling of dread and tucked himself into his sleeping bag to hide away. After some time, he poked his head out of his sleeping bag to find no one around and no more footsteps could be heard. Some claim to have experienced an angry poltergeist who would throw things around the rooms or to hear footsteps, scratching and even groans. Another story tells of a door crashing open by itself, with no windy weather to explain it. The most brutal story from the bothie is of a woman and her baby taking refuge in it from a bad storm. The woman was said to be starving and could not resist any longer. She ate her own baby to survive and feed her hunger. She was seen after looking insane and full of despair before becoming lost in the wilds, never to be seen again. Who knows what dark secrets the cottage holds, especially with it being so far off the beaten track. To finish off this episode, here is a tale of the Grey Paw. Our story takes place in an old church in Bewley. It was said to be haunted by a creature, and anyone daring to visit at night would not return alive. Our story is about a tailor who could be called brave and smart or absolutely insane. He was challenged to stay in the graveyard overnight, and to add to this bet, he also offered to sew a pair of socks. It was a full moon which lit up the graveyard at night enough for him to see. While he sat, the bells chimed for midnight, and this is when a terrible grey head popped out from a grave nearby. It looked at the tailor with its horrible eyes and began to speak to him. The tailor soon realised when he spoke the creature did not move, but when he had to take a breath the creature increased in size and told him in a terrible voice how hungry it was. The tailor, still keeping to his bet, continued with his socks while trying to talk as much as possible. The creature eventually emerged completely from the grave and stretched its long bony fingers towards the tailor. It was inches away when the tailor finished the last stitch and ran to the door, just escaping the clutches of the creature. They say for a long time after, the claw marks from the creature could be seen on the church's doorframe. On that note, it is now the end of this episode. As always, I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Now I go to find more terrible and creepy stories from Scotland's history. Until next time, goodbye.